thanking God for being God all by himself and giving me something to do with my life besides use drugs. I personally believe that addicts do drive long ways to carry this message. And one of the most important things that I've always, it's not what you hear at meetings sometimes, it's a lot of times what you feel. You know, because we even come here, just like we did for the drugs, to feel something different. You know, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask everybody to either hug or shake somebody's hand. Let's get the spirit of the program going in here. Let's do this. Let's get it going. Again, I'm going to get an addict named Gary. You know, because what's more important is not what I say, but what we do for our recovery. It's not always about the speaker. Matter of fact, it's never really about the speaker. Let me say that. It's about what we're going to do for our recovery. You know, I'm the type of person, man, I try to get warmed up. I book study. I research. I pray, I talk to my sponsor, I talk to my network, and this was kind of a different twist for me, you know, to get here, and they give you your topic after you get here. So I thank God that through the almost 10 years that I've been here, that I've done something for my recovery. Sponsorship. You know, I use and abuse drugs for 27 years, all mind and mood altering substances. And what I like about when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, you guys talked about using. You didn't separate one drug from the next. Alcohol, you let me know exactly that was a drug. And through my using, man, active addiction was real bad for me. Let me say that. Active addiction took me to places that I thought I'd never go. Homelessness, helplessness. Sleeping with the same sex, the opposite sex, walking the streets aimlessly, day after day, night after night, sharing needles with other addicts, smoking crack in rooms 120, 130 degrees, bathrooms locked in 15, 20 of us. And what's so ironic about this topic is when I first learned to use, somebody showed me how to use. You know, I had sponsors in active addiction. I had a guy, and I remember sniffing drugs, and I was angry with him because he was always nodding, and I paid for it. So I had a resentment against him. How is he high, and I'm the one that paid for it? You know, and when I'm in my disease tells me that my friends ain't my friends. That they done something crafty, they switched it, or maybe sometime they had switched it. And I remember putting my arm out and telling them, if you don't hit me, you're not going to get any more drugs. And I remember him saying to me, man, you really don't want to do this. Because see, in his heart of hearts, even though he was an addict and he was using, he had already been intravenously using drugs. He said, you really don't want to do this, man. And I said, well, if you want some more drugs, I suggest that you do it. And I remember that first time I injected heroin, that warm feeling ran up my arm like galloping horses. And you've seen the thing on TV, like the woman running down the beach to the man. And the man running down. I didn't want drugs any other way after that. It was just like that love scene. That's how I always wanted drugs from that point. Everything else from that point, I wanted to intravenously use. Of course, I smoke crack, but I like the speedball thing too. And I'm sharing all of that to say someone showed me how to use. Somebody guided me, like the guy on the corner with the stick in the newspaper in his pocket. He was a sponsor. He guided where to go cop. He said, make a left, go to the right, take your hands out of your pockets. We don't want any change. We don't need $1 bills. Take the hood off of your head, cop, and bob. He was a guide. So after using it, my disease taking me to the bottom, and I'm clear on some things after doing some work. I'm clear on the fact that when I got here, I initially thought the drugs brought me here. But after researching it, I can no longer take the pain of active addiction. I can no longer live in the denial and the substitution, the rationalization. See, these are all characteristics of our disease. I can no longer take the pain. There were still more drugs out there. There was even the day that I'm clean, there's still somebody copping right now. So I ain't even going to say the drugs stop working. I can no longer take the pain of active addiction. I can no longer walk the streets anymore and sleep in abandoned buildings and argue and fight because I was forced into a life of crime. You know, the jail time that I have, I went to jail because I was a dope fiend. Even though my record may say something different, I went to jail. Everything that I did was about the getting and using and finding means and ways. I am not even a tough guy. I had to put on the mask and do just like the Romans do when you're in Rome. If you want to use, you're going to have to do what you won't want to do. And this disease will allow you to compromise yourself. No, I didn't want to sleep with the guy. No, I didn't even want to sleep with most of the women. Because something about drugs and sex didn't go along with me. When I'm using, I'm using. The only way that I'm going to have sex is now you're going to let me use again. If you mess up my high, you must guarantee me that you have some money for me to cop again. I didn't do a whole lot of sex. You know, me and my mate was talking about sharing our experience stories and hope with each other coming up the road. And I don't have what they call, quote unquote, an NA girl. I have a woman in recovery. And I thank God that we're in a position where we can share our recovery with each other. Because in spite of what people think, even if the relationship lasts or don't last, the recovery process goes on. That they can share their experience, strengths, and hope with you. You don't have to always jump over to your sponsor and other people. I'm not going to jump over 20 yards just to get to my sponsor in the back room. You know, when I got here, after a few psych wards and jails and institutions, and the disease had beaten me to a pulp, I no longer could take it anymore. And one of the things that they asked me to do was they suggested that I get a sponsor. And my home group was so loving and caring when I got there with 20 out of the treatment facility, 8 days, and they would ask me every week that I come back, did you get a sponsor yet? Are you looking for a sponsor? You know, and I would say, well, no, I'm looking around, and ask that guy over there. See, a lot of times they didn't give you a chance to do a whole lot of picking because when you're new here, you don't know what to look for. You really don't know. What does a sponsor look like? Does he walk around with a name tag or something saying that he's a sponsor? So, you know, they said find somebody who believes in you and wants to help you in recovery. And I got a home group, and I got a basic text, and I got me a commitment early on. And I remember watching this guy at a meeting, and this was one of the most chaotic meetings in the city. And no matter what was going on in that meeting, the guy never flinched. He sat there with his arms crossed, and he listened, and he didn't involve himself. So I had this cat under surveillance. They say we're not under surveillance. I had this guy under surveillance because I was wondering, why is he not participating in the foolishness? Because, see, I had just come from jails and institutions off the streets. I was all right with the meeting being chaotic. Because, see, inside, spiritually, I was still in chaos. I hadn't understood or learned what peace was yet. So I was all right with the fighting, the arguing, the disagreement, the movement and all that. You know, some meetings remind me of the crack house. They was just that chaotic and that crazy. And early in recovery, I was comfortable in that. I liked all that movement and talking and making dates at the coffee machine and, you know, looking around the tight skirts, the slick guys with it. You know, I liked all that because it reminds me of active addiction. And I watched this guy, and he wasn't having any parts of it. And I remember a few times trying to position myself where I could ask him to help me. Because where I'm from, if you don't know me, if we didn't do jail time together, we wasn't hanging together in the streets, you don't ask a dude for nothing. You don't ask him in jail. If you don't ask guys for nothing. Because you, in your mind, they want sexual favors or things of that nature. You just don't do that. I guess it's a guy ego thing. You just don't do that. I don't know you. So it was a real humbling thing, man, to ask somebody to sponsor me. And I went home and I practiced my lines. You know, would you sponsor me? It was almost like asking somebody to go out to the prom or something. Because a part of me was afraid of rejection. I really was. I was scared that this guy was going to say no. And when I asked him, he said, "Well, how much time you got?" I said, "Well, I got 40-something days." He said, "Well, keep coming back." So what does that? Is that a yes or no? What is that? What's that bullshit about? What is that? So I got resentments against this guy now. I'm sitting in the meeting and I said, I knew I shouldn't have never put myself out there like that, asking somebody, some man asked favor. And after a while, he says, "I've been watching you." He came up to me maybe about a month later and he said, "Man, I've been watching you keep coming back and you're doing real good." And he said, "Do you need that sponsor?" And I say, "Well, yeah, I don't quite understand what a sponsor is." So he guided me to get the guide. And I thank God for this guy, man, because he would take me to meetings in different areas. And when we would come in, he would say, "Get your coffee early. If you're going to smoke, smoke early." You know, when we went to the literature rack, he didn't let me pick self-obsession and all these other topics. He picked the topics for me. He said, "Start off with this. Here's the sponsorship guide. I am an addict for the newcomer." He said, "The rest of that stuff you wouldn't understand anyway." He said, "So take this and get up front and where you can hear." And every now and then I would look in the back to see was he there, because he was my ride home. So when I looked in the back, he would gesture, "Look up front. Look up front." I got involved with the steps early on, what, about 4 months, and I got in recovery then. You know, I'm going to say this, and sometimes it kind of ruffles people's feathers. You really don't get into recovery until you get into the steps. You're a member of Narcotics Anonymous when you say you are. But when you get into recovery, you start to work the steps. And, of course, sometimes people come, "I ain't even worried about that." I love the basic text. I read the basic text. I study the basic text. There's something, a lot of information in there to support what I'm saying. This just ain't opinion. This just thing. So I got into the steps early on, and I realized that I needed guidance early on. And that was a real humbling thing, to ask somebody to help me. That the fact that, yeah, I'd went to college and had some power jobs and all of that and knew how to fix this and fix that, but it had nothing to do with recovery. See, newcomers sometimes get upset when we say that you don't know anything about recovery. We ain't saying you don't know anything. Yeah, you probably know how to fix this, TVs and computers and phones, but when it comes to recovery, if you don't know how to stay clean, then you need to ask somebody. And I didn't know how to stay clean. I had no inkling what the steps was going to take me at. So I got involved early with the steps. And even though I was still off the hook around here. You'll hear me share a lot about that, because the drugs, drug use is one thing. Active addiction is another thing. I got here, man, and I was working the steps, and it's easy to, like, write them, to read them, to quote them. Working them is a whole new thing. It's nothing for somebody to dazzle you with their quotating of the steps and the traditions and the concepts and putting a 7 and a 4 together and making 11 out of it. You know, oohing and ahhing the newcomer. You know, I'm the type of person, even in my 10th year, it's hard to dazzle me. It really is. I still get a ooh. But it's hard to dazzle me, especially if your life is not in accordance with the steps. You really don't dazzle me then, because we are each other's eyes and ears. I needed an example of how the program was working. I could read before I came in. I'd been to 2 colleges, and I'd used in both of them. So reading wasn't a problem. I needed to see some examples of the program. So I watched my sponsor. I watched how he paid bills. I watched how he treated his mate. I watched how responsible he was outside of the meeting. And then he had a sponsor who had a sponsor. You know, because it's important to have a sponsor who has a sponsor. That keeps us, the ties bind us together. That gives the information a chance to recycle and go around. And I was running the guys telling me, and I thought they were really like, I said, wow, that guy really can share. I said, who's your sponsor? And they would say, well, God is my sponsor. And I'm thinking, you can't sponsor me then. You really can't sponsor me. You don't even have a sponsor. Because the reality of it is, in order to be a good leader, you have to learn to be a good follower. Yeah, so don't come to me, huh, but God is your sponsor and you've been around here. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to know that you had a sponsor too. So when I couldn't get in touch with you, I can call my grand sponsor. You know, I was finished my first 12 steps with almost 2 years clean. And I made a lot of mistakes early on. A lot of mistakes. You know, I wanted that title. What they say at anniversaries, I got the best sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I was sponsoring totally out of ego. Brand new. I bought my first sponsor a pager, because I wanted him to be able to get in contact with me whenever he needs, because I'm going to save his life. He's not going to use, damn it, because I sponsor him. And if he uses, it's going to make me look bad. Totally out of ego. Ain't had nothing to do with God. Got a brand new 12 steps, and I'm just dying to use them. I'm going to sponsor all y'all ass. Who needs a sponsor? Out of ego. And it happens around here. Let me share that. It happens around here. Ain't nothing new. It happens. So my sponsor said, you did what? And I said, I bought him a pager. And he said, what kind of shit is that? I said, well, he might need to get in touch with me. He said, did I buy you a pager? I said, no. He said, it's your responsibility to get in touch with me. Follow the guide the way it's written. Follow it the way it is written. Don't add, don't take away. So I was like, okay. And it was still a real humbling thing, because I had to go to my sponsor for a lot of information. Whole lot. And in my 10th year, I still have a sponsor. I haven't arrived. I'm on my 10th step for the third time. I haven't arrived. I still call him. I called him on the parking lot before I was asked to share. And he said, well, where are you? I said, well, I'm in Altoona. He said, well, where is that? I say, in Pennsylvania. He says, well, have fun. Do what they asked you to do. Drive safely. And I was excited about coming here. I don't know about them. I had never been to Altoona. I brought me a new hat and a new shirt. You know? It was like being invited to the White House. I was like, shit. Hey, Altoona. I love all y'all. Yes, I do. And people don't want to get on. I was excited. Yes, I was. You know, I thank God for Eric, man, for being so diligent in service, man, meeting this brother up at a convention, man, and being able to talk. And that's what I came up here. I drove 200 miles to get a hug, to hear the message, to have some coffee, to eat, to laugh with y'all, to hear y'all recovery, to share my recovery. That's what this is all about. And what about me coming up here sharing and speaking and all that? It was to see y'all. It was to see y'all. And of course, that's what I like about the steps. They work just like traveling. We took a wrong turn. Six step. Seven step allows us to get right back on track. Because what I did was humbly picked up the phone, shared with somebody I'm lost. And they said, this is how you get back on track, like the seven step. And I was on my way here. And I just came up here, man, really to see y'all. Sponsorship is the heartbeat. If you don't have one, you should be looking for one. You should be looking for one. And if you have one and haven't called them in a while, you should call them and thank them. Because I've had four. And the reason being, because sometimes people's lives change. Some people's egos are too big to tell you that they can't even help you right now. You know, I have to know when my sponsor ain't got it. Some days he ain't got it. Some days I have to pull on the strength of the group or go to the network. I've had to do step work with other members of Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't wait for my sponsor. I didn't wait for him when I went to COP. So I ain't going to wait for him in recovery. I haven't done my step work because my sponsor is going through. He's tied up. He ain't coming to meetings. I realize that this thing is still about our lives. This thing is still about our lives. And it's important, man, and it's an honor when somebody asks you to help them in their recovery. And if you don't have the time, you need to say that. Because I understand that newcomers are very needy. You know, I got one that calls me like four times a day. I had to change my phone plan like three times in 2 weeks. What you doing, sponsor? This is what I ate today. I went here and the brother shared. What are you doing this weekend? Oh, where you sleep? You know, but I love him. He's enthusiastic. He's on fire for the steps. You know, there's nothing like having a newcomer in your life on fire. I'm telling you, man, it's nothing like having a newcomer in your life that's on fire for the step. I finished my first day, they all excited. You know, they wrote a book about that big on one question, about that big. Then they want to read it to you, right? You ain't got nothing else to do. You know, you ask them one question, and they theologically looking at it and intellectually and wrote it out. And people don't realize it's not being the great speaker. It's being a great listener. That's what sponsorship is about. It ain't getting a powerful speaker and all this God, this and that God here and all that. It ain't about all that. Sometimes I'll sit on the phone for 2.5 hours and let him babble on and say, man, that's bullshit. After 2 hours, just to say that one word, man, it's bullshit. Simplify the program, man. Simplify all these long, drawn-out educational words. I can't spell. He can't spell. He ain't looked them up in the dictionary. None of this. But it's a joy, man, to know that God is using me to help somebody else. Because this program is about helping somebody else. It ain't about me and what I'm going through and what I need and things of that nature. You know, having healthy relationships. I have a healthy relationship with my sponsor. You know, we talk on the regular basis. I don't call him just on my anniversary. You know, and I get pissed with some of my guys when they just call me like I have no feelings. You know, and they want me to say all this great, good God, Gucci stuff about them when I don't even know you. If we haven't sat down and done any work and got honest with each other about each other's life, I really don't know you. And I'm the type of sponsor, I'm one of them old-fashioned throwback kind of guys. I'm going to tell right in front of your grandmother, your mother, your wife. I'm going to tell them. No, I'm going to share with them how the program has worked in my life. But if you haven't done anything, I'm going to say just that. Because that's how my sponsor was. Love sometimes wasn't neat and soft. Sometimes it was tough. You know, some of the things that he said to me kind of hurt my feelings. I remember my first sponsor told me, he looked at me and he didn't even blink. And I said, man, I got the girl on West Baltimore, and I got my wife, and I said, I love both of them. And he looked at me and he said, you're a liar. And I said, what you mean? He said, you're a liar. I'm thinking, you don't know me like that. But he was telling the truth. And he said, man, you don't have the capacity to even love yourself. How are you going to love somebody else? You're still living in deceit and dishonesty. You know, so I had to be broke down a whole lot of times, man, to be built back up. A whole lot of times. But I trust and believe, man, based on the information he had and the way that he was living and working the program, that he could help me. So I realized even today, man, I have guys that kind of like, they look at me. I ain't going to say look up to me, but they look at me. And they look at how I'm living. They look at how I treat my mate. They look at what I do inside and outside a meeting. You know, I realize with this information comes responsibility and accountability. So now I can no longer do a lot of the things that I used to do early on in recovery out here. Run around here off the hook, tricking out in the streets, lying and manipulating, still stealing. You know, I had to start really implementing these principles in my life because these guys were watching me. And when I wasn't working the program, the first person I had to call was not my sponsor, but some of my sponsees, and told them that I was in my disease and I needed their help because some of them had information. I got five guys that have knowledge with 12 steps. And they were able to help me based on their experiences to get out of what I was in. I didn't always call my sponsor. I called on them. And that was a humbling thing to let them know that I'd suffer from the same disease that they do. That I'm not great I am because they asked me to do this. You know, that I haven't gotten cured. That I still have the disease of addiction. That I'll still lie, steal, and manipulate if the opportunity presents itself sometimes. That I still sometimes want to cheat. You know, this program is beautiful, man. It's good to know that I don't have to fight anymore. You know, I was sharing with the two brothers up there, and some people say they get nervous and some people get scared. I get excited. I know that God's in charge. When I come to an NA meeting, I know I'm home. I don't care where it is. I am home. So it's just like just being amongst my people, my family. You know, I'm just glad that today y'all have given me something to give back. You know, when I got here, I was empty inside. You know, and thanks to my sponsors, all of them. All of them. I don't have any ex-sponsors and all that. I think all of them, when I haven't fired anybody or hired anybody, you know, I don't know where they get that from. And I understand that some people need to move on. I tell some of the guys that I sponsor, it's your recovery, it's your responsibility. Sponsorship is not a marriage. We're not glued together at the hip. Because I know it was an uncomfortable feeling that I had to go to some of the people who sponsored me and say, well, look, man, I needed to move on. It felt like a breakup. It felt like I, you know, was turning my back on them or something like that. But what I saw was they were being stagnated in their recovery. You know, that they weren't working with a sponsor and they weren't moving ahead. And I had this thirst and this hunger to learn more about the program and to get better. And sometimes we'll hold on when it's time to let go. Even when it comes to sponsorship, we'll still hold on. Ain't getting shit from them. No, you ain't. Just holding on to a name. Just to say you got one, but not utilizing them. Won't call them. Ain't calling her. Ain't working the steps with her. Both stagnated. You can die spiritually in this program. A lot of people will tell you what the drugs will do to you. Don't you know your disease don't care whether you shoot dope or smoke crack? Do you know that? This disease wants you miserable clean. It don't care whether you, like, I haven't used today. And it still will make you miserable in recovery. have you up here sharing all this chaos and confusion. You know, and thanks to the guidance of the people in my life, man, my life is real peaceful. You know, I have a mate that's in recovery, and like I said, we are able to share recovery with each other. We're able to work things out based on the traditions, and because the traditions play a big part in it. It's a we program. I need to take we home, too, and we on the job, and we out in the world. They work, the traditions work outside of this meeting. It's not just to keep the guidelines in here and the coffee and the literature and all that. This stuff is to take home. And I thank y'all. I thank all of y'all for giving me the substance and the principles that I need to have a better life. And, of course, I have the same life as anybody else. I'm still unmanageable with money. Still like to spend more than I have or more than I make. Still sometimes can be emotionally immature. Still will pout like a little boy. All of that. Still have some things to work on because I don't want the newcomer to get the fixed idea that we're well because you work the steps. And because you have some time around here and they ask you to do some things around here. But what I like to share is that I'm getting better a day at a time. Sometimes even a minute at a time. And I thank y'all for helping me save my life. I've done nothing great around here. I just showed up and was willing. They say, if you want what we have, certain steps you have to take. And just coming to meetings after a while is just coming to meetings. Now, when I wanted to recover, I needed to get the sponsor, get some tools, because I can't understand how I'm going to be in a 12-step program, don't have a basic text, don't have a step working guide. Because when I was in active addiction, I had a hypodermic needle, I had a crack pipe, I had matches and ashes in one pocket. Now I get around here and don't want to buy a basic text. Don't want to support something that has been saving my life. Don't want to put a dollar in the basket. All the self-centered things that my disease come up with. You know, this program has given me so much. It's given me a life worth having. Because the reality, before I came, I didn't have a life. It was all about the getting and using. And every day was the same. Monday was like Tuesday. Friday was like Thursday. All of them was the same. There wasn't even no 7 days out of the week. It was just pain. Every day. Day in and day out. No way in and no way out. Until when I got here, y'all gave me the hope. Y'all told me that things could get better. And y'all kept to y'all promise. Freedom from active addiction. And to get somebody to help you. That you can't do this by yourself. You can't just go home and read the 12 steps. I remember a young lady told us with 3 days clean, she on her 9th step. And we was like, what? She said, I'm on my 9th step. And we said, how much time you got? She said, 3 days. She said, I took the book home and read it. We said, no, you need a guide. You need somebody to help you. You can't do this by yourself. You know, this is a wonderful program. If you're in here and you're new, invest in it. If you've been in here a long time, reinvest in it. Sometimes you have to recommit to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, we do need your help. You know, I'm not sure what my time is, but I'm going to thank this area for allowing me to share.